apologize for the background noise. I am sitting on an airplane, and as long as the stewardess allows, I will continue to speak. Today I'd like to share with you, to Iker, one extraordinary machshava and one extraordinary lumdus. Let's start with the Inyan Shel Machshava. This week we have, for the second parasha in a row, the concept of Shana Rishayna. The idea of being the Samech, the wife that one has married, and Shana Rishayna clearly is a very special time. What is the Shorish HaMitzvah? What is the lumdus of this mitzvah? Most of us understand that it's important that Chas and Kala have the right foundation. It's filled with a year of great joy. The Chinuch says that that is not the pshat. The Chinuch, in his explanation of the mitzvah, Mitzvah Tov Kuf Pei Beis, says that the mitzvah of the Simchat HaShishtai is a mitzvah to be with your wife the first year, so that you have great joy for the rest of your life. In other words, the first year is a year of getting used to each other, of preparation. In the Lashon of the Chinuch, Mishiratei HaMitzvah, to travel to be with your wife for a full year, to get used to her, and to connect well with her, and to understand her nature, her style, emotionally. Meaning to say that the depth of the understanding of marriage is that Shana Rishayna is a year of adjustment, not a year of fun. If it's a year of fun and doesn't have the period of adjustment, then it's worthless or worth little. It's a year of adjustment. Every husband and wife, when they get married, have to get used to a personality that is different, that has different values, that has different things that they're accustomed to. The greatest error a Chas and Kala could make is to think that if the marriage, things go on self-pilot. That's not true. It's not so. Technically, the first year is the hardest, the most adjustment. Of course, the first year is also a time when everything is new. And there is a certain joy which gives the strength to Chas and Kala to adapt to each other. But a Chas and Kala who get married with the idea that everything is self-pilot are in for a big surprise. There's a lot of adjustment. And therefore, the insight of this chinuch is extraordinary. It comes back to the great insight of the Chassam Sofer in Parshas Vayeshev. Chassam Sofer there writes, when Lavan says regarding the chinuch, we can say neither good nor bad. And Chassam Sofer asks, if you're for the chinuch, say good. If you're against the chinuch, say bad. And the Chassam Sofer answers, now, when it comes to shidduchim, there is no good and bad. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes shidduchim where two people are not identical, where one has one nature and one has a different nature. And the purpose is to build from the combination. He gives an example. If both like to spend money, the house would be a house of poverty. If both are intent on saving money, they would have money, but they wouldn't be happy. And a Kadosh Baruch Hu makes a shidduch of one who likes to spend and one who likes to save. And in that way, hopefully from the combination, a good middle ground will be found. It's so too with everything else in marriage. And so the chinuch, that's the idea of the simach eshishtai shana, the shana rishayna, to accustom oneself to it. I would venture to say that the aside of this chinuch is the aside which every married couple must absorb. So much for the Machshava. Let's move on to a lumdus. I'd like to share with you a Reb Chaim from the Grach, our Rambam, Reb Chaim, our Rambam. It has to do with the Parsha of Malchus, which is in this week's Parsha. Reb Chaim is bothered by difficulty in the Rambam. We know that when it comes to Eidim Zainanim, witnesses who falsely accuse somebody and become Zainanim, because other witnesses come and say, you were with us at that time in a different. This is called Eidim Zainanim. The Eidim Zainanim is exactly the cause of Kasha Zomam Valei Kasha Asa. The Gemara says, if the false witnesses try to give someone a death penalty, before the death penalty was administered, they were caught and made to Eimerman. Then they get NISA. However, if they were successful in giving NISA, successful in giving death, when they're caught, they are not liable for the death penalty. Something that seems counterintuitive. Look at the Ramban in the Parsha, has an explanation. That's not okay to us. What's okay to us is that there is such a rule of Kasher Zaman, but like Kasher also. Surprisingly, the Ramban in Hilchos Eidos, the beginning of Perek Chof, says that this rule applies only to the death penalty, to Misa. If, however, it's a case where they tried to give someone Malchus, if they tried to give someone Malchus, if they caught before the person got the Malchus, of course the Eidim get Malchus. If they're caught after the person got Malchus, I would think Kasher Zaman Malay Kasher Asa. Since they succeeded in giving Malchus, this punishment does not apply. But the Rambam says, no, the rule of Kasher Zaman Malay Kasher Asa applies only to Misa and not to Malchus. Reb Chaim wants to explain, what is the difference? Well, what I said till now may be complicated, but Reb Chaim says he studied, which he explains with a very simple application. Let us say we have two witnesses who come and say that Reuven ate Neveh Lamid with Hasra, Yizkaya, and Malchus. Ezra calls in a doctor and says, how many Malchus could he take? How many lashes can he take? And the doctor says, let us say, 18. You give him more than 18 lashes, it's a sakana. In that case, Ezra Paskins, that he gets 18 lashes. Before he got those lashes, however, the Edim became Zainanim. They were found to be liars and have been somewhere else with somebody else at that time. The Edim now get the same punishment. The Edim, however, are young, strong people. The doctor says that each can absorb 39 lashes without coming to Sakan. Question. Do they get 39 lashes or do they get 18? The answer is they get 39. Why should that be? They only tried to give him 18. The answer says Reb Chaim is that Malchus is not 39 punishment. It's one punishment called Malchus. Malchus is a unique punishment. It's a name for a punishment administered by Dezden with certain precise rules. Rules have to do with how many lashes you get, the person's position during the lash, and other details. That is called Malchus. It's a one name for a punishment that has rules. They tried to give this gentleman a punishment with those rules, and they get the punishment with the same exact rules. As Reb Chaim says, Malchus in Bez Din is called Malchus. If he hits someone the same way out of Bez Din, that's called Hakad, hitting. Another point Reb Chaim makes with this is life. If two witnesses try to obligate someone to pay $100, and they're found to be a Zaymanin, they pay $50 each. If two witnesses try to be Mechayiv someone 39 Malchus, and they're found Zaymanin, we don't say they should split the Malchus, they should each pay half. No. Mishashulim the Maman, they Mishashulim the Malchus, means that we split the money between them. We don't split the Malchus. Why not? Says Reb Chaim, the same is right. Money is a punishment of 100 different dollars that they tried to cheat a man. Malchus is not 39 different punishments that could be split. Malchus is one punishment called Malchus. And therefore, it cannot be split. Returning to the Rambam with which we began, the people came and said false testimony that someone is Kaya Malchus. And Bezra said he's Kaya Malchus and gave him those lashes. Later it turns out, he never ate the Nevela. He's not really high of Malchus. What Bezdin did to him was not Malchus. It was hitting. Because the only time it's called Malchus is when it follows the Shura Sadin, the rule. When it comes with false witnesses, that's not Malchus. That's hitting. And therefore, it forever remains Kasher Zaman, Malay Kasher Asa. They fooled Bezdin into hitting him. Malchus? No. Lo Kasher Asa, Malchus was not given. This is the idea, the concept that Reb Chaim is Chadish in the concept of Malchus. So these are the two basic studies that I wanted to share with you. In the minutes that remain, let me share some questions. First, the basic question I've had many years, I don't believe I mentioned this in the past, but I have. The Parsha has Zahar Ashtar Sar Hashem Kefala Miriam. the mitzvah to remember what God did to Miriam when Chayas born. Is this a separate mitzvah day? The Rambam ignores it. The Rambam does not count remembering what happened to Miriam. The Ramban disagrees. The Ramban, in the Parsha, says no. Because Chayas of Miriam is a mitzvah say, and based on that, we try to be careful and daily remember what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to Miriam. As the Chofetz Chaim says, you have to remember Hashem did it to Miriam. The derech that says to me Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished Miriam for Lashon Hara, despite the fact that it was a time of Rachamim, a time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. Be that as it may, when you look at the Sefer HaMitzvot, the Rabbi counts 630 mitzvot. The Ramban adds, in the back of the Rambam, Rambam's Sefer HaMitzvot, we find printed the editions of the Ramban. Ramban adds Mitzvah Saseh Zayin, the seventh Mitzvah Saseh that he is, Zechor Asha 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 Melekecha Lemiriam. Fine. So the Ramban would have to decrease the Rambam's count by one and increase by one. What troubles me is that if you read the Ramban, it's clear that he holds Zechor Asha Erek Tzavta Asha Asha Melekecha Badidbar and Parsha Tzeket. We had the prophet to remember that we angered Hashem in the Midbar. And the Ramban seems mentioning it to count this as a mitzvah as well. It's hard to understand why could remembering what happened to Miriam and remembering what happened in the Midbar, when Hashem angered Christ, all be counted as one. That should be two added mitzvahs. Why does the Ramban count them together as one? The second question, if you read the Ramban, he brings the pasuk Zachar no amat yos balok melech mayav umano. Oh no, he's like Dylan Ben Bar. The pasuk Micha is in the Aspira Parshat Balak, where the Navi says to remember what happened with Bilam's attempt to curse Klal Yisrael. And it's so strange that the Ramban mentions this. We are not familiar to have that Zachira. Those learning that Yomi will remember that, I believe it was the first parak, the Gemara said that there was a Havavina that we should read along with Kriya Shema Parshat Balak every day. But it's wrong, the Chazal said, you don't have to do it. Why would there be a thought to read the Parshat Balak? I assume because of this. When do we do it? Zarafi and Gavul has been suggested that when we say Matavu Ayolecha Yaakov Mishpacha Yisrael in the morning, that is a theme of remembering the curse of Bilam. It may well be so. If so, we should be thinking with Mishpachas Kavan. We should be thinking at the time what it is. The second question. This is Parashat, we have the mitzvah of Ma'aka. Mitzvah of a Sisa Ma'aka L'Gagecha, building a fence or a wall around the one's roof. Now, I should mention this applies as well to a porch, which has to have a wall. If the porch is more than 10 tefachim, more than 36 inches off the ground, the wall around the porch, the gate, must also be 36 inches high, which is 10 tefachim according to Rav Moshe Shear. I should point out that a second story of a one-family home generally has the gate at the stairwell. That gate, too, that banister, that's at the hallway where it protects people from gossiping falling into the stairwell, that also has to be 36 inches tall. Very often is not. That is the mitzvah of Ma'aka. The Rambam says, we build a Ma'aka, we make the bracha. Then we build a Ma'aka, we make a bracha. Wonderful. The question is the following. I mentioned in the past, I don't remember when, that the Rosh Razi is tied that on the other Lechaveri mitzvahs, we don't make Birchas HaMitzvahs. We don't make a bracha. The number of Achraim had explained that when we say the bracha, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvahs of Yitzvivanu, we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Klal Yisrael special Kedusha, and therefore gave us the mitzvah of the Kielas Hulas, Shreifer, whatever the mitzvah may be. On the number of Achraim, we don't say that. Because somebody who is not a Yid also would teach the mitzvah stichlis, the logical mitzvah. So therefore, the bruch is inappropriate. She could be shown with this, and it's even only Klal Yisrael as the mitzvah. No, it's a logical mitzvah. But so, it would seem difficult. Why do we make a bruch on a Ma'aka? There is no Makar Shas. The Rambam's Gedish would make a bruch on Ma'aka. Why is it different than any logical mitzvah? I mean, it's just simply, why here should we be making a bracha? These are two questions on the parasha. And with that, I will sign off for the Shabbos, wishing everybody an absolutely wonderful Shabbos. The Thursday, Be'ezus Hashem, I should be back to the regular 15 starting time. I'll good.